We women are doing a huge disservice to ourselves by thinking in any level that wanting and loving money is greedy and negative. We have to start looking at where these thoughts are coming from, who they came from, and whether they're yours any longer, whether you really want to believe this anymore.
Welcome to the Joypreneur Podcast. I'm Melanie Kovac, your host. And this podcast is about joypreneurs and how they explore and find joy, purpose, and profit. And then build a business and life around that. What joypreneurs have in common is that while exploring, they reflect, learn, and express themselves. And then they find their own definition of what success and freedom feels like and looks like for them. If you want to find more clarity and choose the path that suits you, head over to melaniekovac.com/quiz and find out what type of entrepreneur you are. Today, I talked to Leslie Kuster. She's an American entrepreneur based in Zurich that 6 years ago had a light bulb moment. When she realized in her mid-50s, having two businesses that were doing okay but not exceptionally great, that she wanted to change something. If you've ever said, oh yeah, I'm not doing it for the money, money is not that important for me, I just want to help people, this is the episode for you to change that belief. Welcome, Leslie, to the Joypreneur Podcast. I'm very happy to have you.
And I'm very happy to be here. And I absolutely love the name of your podcast, The Joypreneur.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Tell us, what is it like to be you today?
Well, we are in Zurich, Switzerland, and we are in the middle of a major snowstorm. And I love snow so much. And I was thinking about why I love it so much. And I realized I have so many happy memories as a kid. My father was a skier and he taught us to ski. So all our family vacations were like in the snow and in the snowstorm. And so it just, I don't know, makes me feel really happy. And I heard someone the other day, I think it was in a movie, say that winter makes them feel warm. And I realize, hey, that's me too. It actually makes me feel warm and cozy. So I'm loving how things are today.
Yeah, me too. I've just gone for a walk. And I feel like it's this childlike awe and wonder. It's like magic. I don't know. It's incredible to see one's surroundings covered in this much snow. I think I've never seen this much snow since I've lived in the city of Zurich. To kick off, I'd love to ask you a question about a job. And okay. I know you are, Leslie, all about freedom and being an entrepreneur. But let's imagine you had to get a job for whatever reason. The good news, though, is you could choose whatever job, role, company you liked, and you would just get it. What would you choose?
Okay, well, let's start with I would do everything possible that I didn't have to get a job. So I'll start with that because I really don't like getting jobs. But if I had to get a job, I think maybe I would have some kind of job where I had to like find the greatest food in the world, or like, I don't know, the best olive oil or the best something or some superfood or something. And I would go to that place and, you know, they would pay for me to travel there first class. And I would, you know, bring back to the world something absolutely wonderful. So maybe it would be something like that.
For the ones who don't know Leslie Kuster, tell us a bit who you are and where you're coming from.
So I am sitting, as we mentioned before, in Zurich, Switzerland. But as you could probably tell from my accent, I am not from here. I am from New York City, from the US. And I fell in love with my Swiss husband when I met him over 20 years ago in the US, and then came to Switzerland around 20 years ago and have been here, although I have a very strong free spirit, and I've always had one foot remaining in the US and one foot in Switzerland and another foot in Bali, Indonesia, which is where my business is based and where I manufacture clothing. So even though I've lived in Switzerland for a long time, I've spent many months out of the last 20 years each year back in the US and or in Bali.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your business, like how it came to be and what you're doing on a daily basis and what your clients can get from you and so forth.
I was working in a job in public relations in New York City. I then went traveling to Indonesia. I had an opportunity to take time off and just travel. And I did. And I traveled for 7 months. And it was just wonderful. And however, when I returned back to New York City, I needed to get a job. I needed to get work again. And there was a moment where I was sitting on my bed. I had the newspaper open to the Help Wanted ads, because back then that's how you found jobs. There was actually, was like no internet, believe it or not. And I was looking through the newspaper, and honestly, there was not one job I wanted to have, like nothing. I all of a sudden had like this light bulb moment and this thought. And the thought went like this. I had just returned from Bali, and I had remembered this like beautiful clothing, children's clothing actually, that I had seen in Bali, really colorful. It was batik, which is what the Indonesian people and the Balinese are really famous for. It's a process of making colors and patterns on fabric. And I remember sitting on that bed with the New York Times, not wanting to get a job. And I thought, I wonder if I went back to Bali, Indonesia, and I bought some of that clothing and I brought it back to New York, I wonder if I can sell it. And actually, on a side note, I just want to point out to everybody listening that this question, I wonder, like whenever you have this thought yourself, like, I wonder if I should quit my job. I wonder if I should start a business. I wonder if I should go for a walk. I wonder, like that question, I wonder, is a sign for you to stop and take note of what you are wondering, because it is our wondering that will bring us to something new. So I just jumped on a plane. I went back to Indonesia. I went back to Bali. I brought a big duffel bag. I went shop to shop to shop, buying beautiful, beautiful children's clothing. I brought it back to New York. I registered for street fairs, basically outdoor markets on the weekends in New York City. And my booth was stormed by women, stormed. It was like a frenzy of buying it because at that time, you know, they just had not seen anything like this. It wasn't typical to see stuff like this in regular children's stores. And that's how my business started. So many years later, now I have changed the product line. I've changed the business. I've changed the business model. I'm obviously now online. And the current product line I have right now is about 8 years old. And I transitioned to women's clothing. So what I do is my business is called Back From Bali. And I create and I manufacture women's bohemian style clothing made in Bali. And I am also really happy to say it's all ethically made. So I work primarily with small women business owners in Bali. So nothing I do is factory made. Everything is done ethically and supports the women and the families that make all my clothing. So I create the clothing there, manufacturing the clothing in Bali. And then the clothing is primarily sold on Amazon. So I'm an e-commerce business. And I literally, with UPS, ship the clothing directly into Amazon's fulfillment houses. There's hundreds and hundreds of fulfillment houses all over the world. I ship primarily into the US market, and then it is sold through Amazon, and it's also sold through my website, backfrombali.com. I have a multiple seven-figure business, and this business not only affords me the money that I love and have earned, but it has afforded me the freedom that I yearned for many, many years ago when I no longer wanted to get a job. But my upbringing taught me that men are really the ones who are supposed to be providing most of the money, at least. And women, yeah, sure, work, make money, but that is not really where your value is. So even though I considered myself, let's call it a modern woman, I mean, I worked, I had two businesses, I still had a mindset of being what I call now being in the princess tower and having the princess tower syndrome. And the princess tower syndrome is a unfortunate syndrome that many and most women are in, which is the expecting and thinking that they're going to be provided for by a man, from whatever their upbringing is, whatever their belief systems is, because they have children, whatever their reasons are. And what happened to me is I realized enough. I know what I want. I wanted more success. I wanted more money. I knew I had it in me. I wanted to feel really, really proud of myself for creating something. I wanted to be more independent. I didn't want to depend on anyone any longer. And I just said to myself, there is no way I am waking up on my next birthday earning the same amount of money I earned this year. No way. And that was it. That was my decision. At that time, my online business was doing, I think it was $50,000 a year on Amazon. The following year, it went to $100,000 and went to $250,000, to $700,000, to $900,000, to $1 million, to $1.2 million. And at the time of us speaking now, it's over $2 million.
Thanks for sharing that. So yeah, it's incredible. Once you made the decision, you doubled or tripled your revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the first few years at least. And then, yeah, you still grew significantly over the last 6 years. It's incredible.
Yeah, yes. It's incredible and possible if that's what you really, really want.
I think it also comes down to what is your definition of success?
Authentic success meant for me freedom. That was number one. That has always been my most important value, is freedom and having freedom. Yeah.
And then I'm also curious, how did you come to love money? Because yeah, these days, if you would say out loud, I love money, you might come across as greedy.
We women are doing a huge disservice to ourselves by thinking in any level that wanting and loving money is greedy and negative. I did speak with quite a lot of women entrepreneurs, and one of the things I heard some of them say is, oh, they're not doing it for the money. You know, they even if it wasn't for the money, I would do what I'm doing. Yeah, the money's not that important to me. This is a bunch of crap. and truthfully, it's a lie. And we need to embrace that the desire for money, the creation of money, and the wanting of money, and the love of money is going to be giving you empowerment and independence. The problem is that women want to be liked, and they want to be seen as feminine, and they don't want to be seen as a greedy, money hungry person, because that is, you know, potentially very ugly, and it's certainly a little bit more of a masculine quality. As I built this business, I continued to ask myself, like, how in the world did I build this business? Because I want to be able to let other women know how I did it, how it's done. So I decided to write a book. So I am in the process of writing a book right now for women entrepreneurs. And it is going to go over the steps and the keys that I've incorporated into my life and my business that has brought me to those seven figures. And one of them for sure is acknowledging and saying, I want money and I love money, because we need to embrace that. It is through the money, okay? It's through the ability of access to money that is going to be able to elevate our lives and to be able to empower our lives and to be able to do so much good in the world. I mean, I think I heard there's somebody once said, if you can't pay your light bill, you know, how are you expected to be the light in the world? So We need to stop using these words such as the money doesn't matter. I would do it for the money. You know, I just want to help people. That's something women like to say. Oh, I just want to help. I just want this. I just want that. I just want to, you know, they're scared to say they want the money.
I think it makes a lot of sense, right? Like saying, I want the money, and rationally saying that. But then I think it's another step to also feeling it and really saying, like, I love money. And so I wonder, could you maybe share with how you went through that transformation, or how you would advise others to go about that, from just rationally like saying like, okay, yeah, I'm sure Leslie's right. Like, it makes sense. We need to have access to money and want money, but then making the transition to actually loving money, like emotionally, like how to go about that.
You have to start with why you don't feel that way and what you're protecting and what pattern you're trapped in. We're all trapped in patterns from our childhood and from growing up. We have beliefs and we have patterns that have influenced our choices, that have influenced who we are. It has influenced how we act. And most important, it has influenced the thoughts that happen inside our brains and inside our heads and inside our bodies. So these thoughts, whether it is, you know, oh, you know, I'm a nice person, I'm not greedy, or money is really hard to come by, or money, you know, rich people are evil and bad, or, you know, certainly I'm living in Switzerland. I mean, people really don't talk about money here, but yet, listen, let me tell you, after living here a long time, they value it very highly. I believe a very highly status focused society. Sorry if that insulted anyone, but that's my opinion. So, you know, I think it's just a lie when people say it doesn't mean something to them. So we need to start with, where are our money beliefs coming from? Because we all have them, and they all started from what your mother taught you, what your father taught you, or whoever raised you, your grandparent, or, you know, another family. We have money beliefs based on what we were taught as children. And these money beliefs stay with us. They're in our cells. They're in our belief systems. They're in our statements. We have to start looking at where these thoughts are coming from, who they came from, and whether they're yours any longer, whether you really want to believe this anymore. When I made my, let's call it shift, my money shift, my inner thoughts were that I won't be so feminine if I start making money, or, you know, I shouldn't make as much money as my partner, or, it would be better if he made more money than me. That would be a better situation. Or I need him to buy me what it is that I want to be buying. When I started to realize that, I was like, what? Like, and actually, it was very practical. My wonderful husband, Heinz, we always had a joke. We wanted to move out of that Hundtwangen apartment, and we wanted to have a beautiful home near the Lake of Zurich. And he always said to me, Leslie, one day I'm going to buy it for you. And I had a childhood nickname named, which is Essie Dooney, because when I was little, I couldn't pronounce Leslie June. And so it turned into Essie Dooney. And Heinz kind of calls me that from time to time, Essie Dooney. And he would say to me, Leslie, one day I'm going to buy you the Essie Dooney Tower. I thought, I am buying myself the Essie Dooney Tower. I am no longer waiting for anybody else to buy it for me. So that is how you make the shift. You have to look at your values, or rather other people's values that you've gotten. And then you have to look at your own values and what it is that you really want. And you have to get honest with yourself. And this is the main thing. A lot of women are not honest with themselves. They're not honest that, well, they may not be honest that they don't even want to work that hard. All right. A lot of women in the Princess Tower are comfortable. So why bother? Why work harder? Why take the risk? Why say I want money? Why shift out of where I am? I'm comfortable. That, however, is keeping women small, and it's keeping women dependent. And more than anything, we are not in our bodies forever. And you have to ask yourself every day, what do you want to be doing with your time left? Do you want to be comfortable? Do you want to stay small? Do you want to be dependent? Do you want to use your gifts? Do you want to help change things? Do you want to express yourself? What do you want to do with your time? And I think that's a really important question.
Thank you so much for sharing all these limiting beliefs. I definitely caught myself in some of them. You said you ask yourself every day, what do I want to do with my life?
Yeah.
And did you maybe also have help, or how did you go about this money shift practically? Like, did you, I don't know, hire a coach, journal every day, how did you make it happen? Like, from the intention of and the decision and the commitment to change, to then also like sticking to it and not falling back into the same old patterns.
Yes, I hired a consultant. And this is one of the secrets, or rather not, maybe not secrets. One of the keys to success is to hire someone who can help you bring you to where you want to be. And I very much believe you should hire a coach who is where you want to be going and was where you are now. And what I mean by that is I had an e-commerce business. That was the business I was building. So I hired Lisa Satora, who is my consultant, who was a specialist in e-commerce and a specialist on Amazon. And that is who I hired and who I to this day still work with. So absolutely, you need the help. We need guidance, and you can't do it alone. And this is the other thing. You don't know what you don't know. And until you make the decision that I want to be successful, I want to make more money, I want to live my freedom, I want authentic success. Once you make that decision, you have to then go out of what you know and learn new things. So I spent a huge amount of time learning. And I continue to learn every single day with podcasts or courses that I take. And as I said, I still work with my consultant. So yeah, that's basically how you have to do it. You have to invest the time and money into learning new things and getting guidance from somebody who knows what they're doing. That was one of the main things that changed me from doing 50,000 a year to doing multiple seven figures a year.
Mm. And that is also profitable, I assume, right? If we always talk about revenue, the key is also profit that allows you to grow or maybe hire or invest and so forth.
Oh, I love that point. Thanks for making it, because I write about that in my book. We focus a lot on the annual revenue and stuff like that. But what we really need to also be focused on is the net profit, the money that actually goes back into our pockets. And that is, you know, that also ties into what authentic success and authentic power is. When you are an entrepreneur, what can then happen is you can then become is a slave to your business, and you can end up, you know, there's that joke, an entrepreneur is somebody who, you know, works for themselves 80 hours so they don't have to work 40 hours a week for somebody else. And as all entrepreneurs know, that's pretty true. And I don't believe in doing that. I've always built my business over these years by taking quite a lot of time off. I spend at least 6 weeks a year in the summer at a spiritual retreat, and I do several more of those retreats during the year. I don't really start working until maybe 12 in the day. So I really believe that authentic success is not only about money. It's about what authentic success means to you, which for me, as I said before, is really is freedom, and having the time also to connect with my higher self, with spirituality, which has been so important to me, and I believe has fed my business. I believe because I took that time off, because I took 6 weeks off every summer, I believe that is the reason, or certainly part of the reason, why my business is successful, and that I'm not burnt out, exhausted, and you know, overwhelmed all the time. So we spoke about before what was one of the keys, and one of the keys is definitely getting a coach and guidance and learning. Another key, and this is in my book, is actually downtime, is empty time, because we need to take empty time in order for us to know what it is we want. Because if we are just busy and doing all the time, first of all, we get influenced by other people and seeing what other people are doing. And then we're like, oh, I want that too, or I'm going to go after that. You know, the whole culture is strong about what success is supposed to look like. You know, I don't need to define it. It's obvious. What is success supposed to look like? We all kind of know what that is. But is it? Is that what it's supposed to look like? And until you stop, you can't answer that question. You can't answer that question when you're doing a million things a day, when you're working all the time, when you're so busy, you don't can't even think, when you're so busy, you don't have time to journal, to meditate, to self-care, to take time off. And so when you take time off and downtime, that gives you the opportunity to define what authentic success is for you. And so you can start bringing that more into your life rather than going after what you think success is.
Mm. And I think it's such an important point to have a counter narrative to this work hard Silicon Valley kind of story. And to also see that it's possible by, taking time off or actually probably only possible at some point when you know what you want. And that is only possible when you take time, as you said.
That's exactly right. And I think when women are building a business, that they need to realize that they can do this. Like, this is really possible. Yes, you have to work really hard. And in the early years of this business, the one I'm talking about of the last 7, 8, 9 years, I worked really, really hard. There were weeks I was working, you know, 7 days a week. But within the year, I still took those 6 weeks off. So there are times where you have to work your butt off, work really, really hard, but not all the time.
As you said, you're now writing your book, and like you said, 6 years ago, you were in your mid-50s.
Yes.
So I'm curious, like, what do you yearn for now, and what is next on the horizon? And I don't know, probably it's not retirement anytime soon.
No.
So yeah, I'm curious, like, what do you plan to do next, or you would love to do next?
My book will launch in a few months, and I am starting now to create courses and will be also be offering one-on-one consulting as well.
That's very exciting.
It is.
Yeah, where can people learn more about you and the work and be notified as soon as your book launches?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you could find me on Instagram at Leslie Kuster Official, also on Facebook at Leslie Kuster Online. You could find me on YouTube. I have a lot of YouTube videos. So, Leslie Kuster on YouTube. I have a lot of videos that are, and they're short, so it won't take you so long to look at everything. A lot of videos on how to be successful, what you need to know, what the keys are. So definitely please subscribe to me there. I will be launching my new website very, very shortly, and it will be at lesliekuster.com. And those are the best ways to find me. I also would be happy to share my email right now, which is my name is lesliekuster@gmail.com.
Great, thank you. We'll also make sure to link it in the show notes so people can just click the link. And yeah, last but not least, I'm curious to hear, what do you associate with the term joypreneur?
Oh, I love it. I love it, by the way. I really love it. Okay, listen. This is the purpose of our lives, is to feel joyful and to feel happy and to feel enthusiastic, because without those things, then everything else is just like difficult. So joy to me is like a child, and joy to me is like today, the snow and the feeling happy for simple things and for not achieving anything and just having joy for the sake of being joyful. So I love that you're calling your podcast the Joypreneur, because I think a lot of people associate entrepreneurship or success with like hard work and difficulties potentially, and challenges and failures. And yeah, that could be true too, but it's also about joy, and it's about finding our joy. And the reason to be an entrepreneur is to be a joyful entrepreneur. So that's what it makes me think about.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Leslie. And thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us today on the podcast. And I can't wait for your book.
Thank you so much. And I wish everybody lots of love and lots of light.
Thank you so much for listening to the Joypreneur podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And I hope you feel encouraged to explore, and that you find joy, profit, and purpose in your life. If you want to find more clarity and choose the path that suits you, head over to melaniekovac.com/quiz and find out what type of entrepreneur you are.